Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Good morning, Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. Happy Sabbath. During the Christmas season, there's an event that takes place which is televised, and it intrigues me from time to time to watch it. Don't see it every year, but it intrigues me from season to season, the times when I do see it. And it is the midnight mass ceremony at the Vatican. I don't know how many of you get a chance or have gotten a chance to see that. I don't know why, but it just intrigues me to watch what is going on there. And I watched it again this year. I just can't help noticing the opulence, the pomp and the pageantry of the entire affair. The altar boys marched in to perform their functions. The attending priests came next in their regalia. Then came the Pope with his golden bejeweled staff, his white robe, his headpiece, tiara, if you will. And in years past, the Pope would generally walk in. However, I noticed that this year they had a wheeled sort of device, that platform that he was standing on, and there were four attendants that wheeled in. And the announcer said that the walk was so long that they didn't want him to become exhausted, particularly through the entire ceremony. What an awesome display! But while the Pope and his attendants had facial expressions that were humble and pious, everything about their appearance and their actions speak volumes to the contrary, at least in my view. Many individuals in the audience seem mesmerized by his presence and his entrance. It's almost as if he's a rock star coming onto the stage. They went to great lengths just to see him and receive his papal blessing. And it becomes abundantly clear to me that all of the display is meant to turn the minds of the people, is not meant to turn the minds of the people toward Christ. It is meant to turn the minds and the people toward themselves, their traditions, and their ceremonies. And the Pope seems so willing to oblige the people as they refer to him as Holy Father. Curiously, as I watch all this and pay attention to all of this, one thought permeated my mind. What do people see when they look at me? If I call myself a Christian, then I am called to be one of his ambassadors here. It's just what Tony was saying to the young people. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are called to be, if we call ourselves Christians, we are called to be ambassadors for him here on this earth. And so, if I call myself a Christian, am I rightly representing him? And so my sermon is entitled today, Can the World See Jesus in You? Can the World See Jesus in Me? And this is a practical sermon today, not one that is heavy theological, but I hope that you will get something from it today as God speaks. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you will speak here today. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. As a young boy, I recall my mother. My mother is quite a singer in Israel. She loves to sing even to this day. She sings when all her chores around the house and whatever she's doing, she will sing. But I remember her singing this hymn. It's not in our Adventist hymnal. Or maybe it was in an older version. But the verse and the refrain go something like this. Do we live so close to the Lord today, passing to and fro on life's busy way, that the world in us can a likeness see to the man of Calvary? Can the world see Jesus in me? Can the world see Jesus in you? Does your love to him ring true, and your life and service too? Can the world see Jesus in you? I believe the greatest need in our world today is for people to come to a knowledge of the Savior and of his saving grace. Brothers and sisters, in this scheme of life, what else really matters? When we consider everything, what else really matters? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, Peter states, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then," and here's the conclusion, "seeing then that all these shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" What else really matters than accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and having a personal relationship with Him? What else matters? Men and women, boys and girls everywhere will in many instances only come to this knowledge through you and through me. I like how someone has put it, in our ministry for Christ, we should be transparent so that others looking at us see Christ and not us. In John 3, verse 30, John the Baptist himself said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And we all know that John was called to pave the way for Christ to come. And in John 12, 32, Christ himself says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Well, I've thought about this, and I said, if we want the world to see Jesus in us, then we must be determined to be like him. I'll say that again. If we want the world to see Jesus in us, we must determine in our hearts and our minds to be like him. That sounds simple enough, but many times we miss the point and the ramifications that accompany it. I'd like to share with you today, in this brief message, 4 points on how we can be like Jesus. I'll mention all 4 of them now, and then we'll take a look at each one. Number 1, we must develop mentally and physically as Jesus did. That's number 1. Number 2, we must study the scriptures as Jesus did. Number 2. Number 3, we must pray as Jesus did. And number 4, we must serve as Jesus did. Now, no way is this a comprehensive list of the only things that that we can gain by studying the life of Christ. But these are 4 things that I think encapsulate much of what his mission was here on this earth, and I want to concentrate on them today. Number 1, we must develop mentally and physically as Jesus did. Number 2, we must study the scriptures as Jesus did. Number 3, we must pray as Jesus did. And number 4, we must serve as Jesus did. Point number 1, we must develop mentally and physically as Jesus did. Luke 2:52 states, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." And I have several versions of the Bible at my house. I have one that's called the Everyday Version of the Bible, and I like how it states, how it puts it. "Jesus became wiser and grew physically. People liked him, and he pleased God." Now let's dwell on that, on the mental aspect for a moment. Within each of us, exists the greatest computer ever created, the human mind. Medical scientists tell me that every event that we experience or have experienced in life is stored in our brains. They did experiments on this years ago where they probed people's brains with electrodes, and I recall reading where this woman experienced a concert that she went to some years before, and she re-experienced the entire thing, I mean, verbatim. They did other experiments and discovered that every event is stored in our brain. Not necessarily that we can recall it at all times, but every event is stored in our brain. So we have fascinating brains. With our brains, we learn, we think, we reason, we make decisions, we make choices, some good and some not so good. And in addition to the things that we learn or acquire God has put some built-in functions into our computer brains. Just think if we had to concentrate on or think about making our heart pump or our blood flow or our lungs breathe in and out. And fortunately, we don't have to do that. These instructions are pre-programmed into our wonderful computer. Now consider this. Millions, perhaps even hundreds of millions of dollars are spent every year on antivirus software and firewalls, all in an effort to protect our personal computers at home and on our jobs from harmful and destructive programs called viruses. Why? Because these viruses can do bad things, as we know, if they infect our CPUs. They can destroy the hard drives or make computers lose all their data. They can make computers crash and render them unusable. Now, if we are this diligent in protecting our man-made computers, shouldn't we be much more diligent in protecting our computer brains from bad programming and bad data? I think so. Remember the saying, junk in, junk out. Well, we can't expect to put junk in here and expect good things to come out. Philippians 4:8, Paul states this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Remember now, we're talking about how to be like Jesus so the world can see Jesus in us. Jesus did these things, and we certainly ought to do so also. One thing I want to point out, it says, please note that the text, it does not say whatsoever things are religious, think only on these things. God wants us to be well-rounded individuals. And there are many secular things and activities that are true, pure, honest, lovely, and of good report, and virtuous. Every movie or television program we watch doesn't have to be about the Bible, but certainly we should stay clear of programming that is filled with sex and violence. Every song that we listen to doesn't have to be sacred or gospel music, but certainly the songs that we listen to should be uplifting and of a pure nature. Every book that we read does not have to be religious in nature, but certainly we should stay away from pornography and literature that has no socially redeeming value. Here's a simple little test we can all use to help us make our decisions about the things that we do in life. When we pick up a book, let's ask ourselves, would Jesus read this also? When we go to the rent a video, for perhaps, let's ask ourselves, would Jesus look at this with us? When we buy our CDs, for example, our music, would Jesus listen to this? I think that if we are sincere and honest with ourselves, we will know the answer to these questions, and we will know what to do. We must guard the avenues to our soul, meaning we need to be aware of all of our sensory inputs, seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, and smelling. And we need to protect our CPUs from bad or corrupt data. Now let's dwell on the physical aspect for a moment. I mentioned physical development with mental development because the two are inseparable. The relation that exists between the mind and the body is intimate. When one is affected, the other sympathizes. Just like our brains, if we want to develop whole bodies, we must put good things into them. Now here's an acronym that I'd like for us to keep in mind, and perhaps most of you know this already. You know, I'm so proud of the documentary, The Adventists, and I don't know how many of you have had an opportunity to see that on PBS, but there are many of my friends that I have shared that with at work, and they ask me questions about, what is your church all about, you know? And it's a good segue into our lifestyle, the things that we're all about. So I plan to even purchase more of them and give them away to my friends that know at work that I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. But here's the acronym that I like, and it's called New Start, N-E-W-S-T-A-R-T. And some of you may know about that. It encapsulates or encompasses the eight laws of health. Each of the letters in New Start stands for a law. N is for nutrition. And I just jotted beside that, eat the right kind of food and in the proper amounts. But N is for nutrition. E is for exercise. Try to get some exercise in your life daily, in your daily activities, and walking is a good one. So E is for exercise. W is for water. Drink plenty of fresh water to flush out the impurities out of our system. S is for sunshine. And we need to get that from time to time. Sometimes it's hard for us to get that here in Michigan, but on the days when we do have sunshine, we should try to get out and get a little bit of it. T is for temperance. We should be temperate in all things. A is for air, and we should all try to get some fresh air. R is for rest. Try to get an adequate amount of sleep in your so that your body can repair itself. And last but not least, the T is for trust in divine power. N for nutrition, E for exercise, W for water, S for sunshine, T for temperance, A for air, R for rest, and T, trust in divine power. We all need to trust in God for our healing and our well-being. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, Paul says this, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now remember, I'm still talking about being like Jesus so that the world can see Jesus in us. Jesus developed mentally and physically as God would have him to, and as his parents, his earthly parents, directed him to. So if we want to be like Jesus, we will develop mentally and physically as he did. Point number two, we must study the scriptures as Jesus did. We must study the scriptures as Jesus did. From a very young age, Jesus was a very diligent student of the Holy Scriptures. His earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, taught him so. Think about this. When Jesus came here as a baby, you know, there's some people in some religions that believe that he was all-knowing from the time that he was an infant. Well, this is rather absurd thinking in my view. And think about this. He came here as a baby. He did not come here as a fully developed human. As a baby, he did not have the foreknowledge of who he was or what his purpose was. He learned this as a result of his studies of the Bible and of his studies of nature. And imagine this, if you will. Imagine with me, Jesus, a small boy, studying the scriptures. He's growing in the Lord, in the grace of his family, and studying the scriptures. And he reads the prophetic, his Bible, of course, was the Old Testament. He reads the prophetic writings of Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel and Daniel. And he reads about the Messiah who's to come. He looks at himself and the circumstances of his life, the time and the place of his birth, and he comes to the realization, hey, this is me. Can you imagine him reading in the book and coming to that conclusion that this is me, I am the one? Jesus discovered God's will and his purpose for his life as a result of his diligent study of the Bible. So we also, if we want to be like Jesus, so that the world can see Jesus in us, we will study the scriptures to find out God's will and purpose for our lives. I just was thinking of a text in Jeremiah 29:6. God says, I know the plans. I know the thoughts that I have for you, thoughts of peace and to give you an expected end. And if we are diligent with our studies of the Bible, then we will find out, we will come to know God's will for us in this day and this time. None of us have come to this day and this time by accident. God chose to bring us into existence the very time that we were born. I was born March 27, 1962, and in a few weeks I'll be celebrating, Lord willing, my 50th birthday. But God knew the time that he was going to bring each one of us, and so he has a purpose for each one of us here. And it's up to us to find out what that purpose is, not just to wander aimlessly through life. And we can know God's purpose for us if we are willing to study and dig into the scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." It is interesting to note that after Jesus' baptism in the Jordan, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. He went there to contemplate his mission and his work, and Satan went there as well too, thinking that this might be his opportunity to approach him. But as Satan met Jesus with temptation, Jesus responded to every temptation with an "It is written," or "Thus saith the Lord." Now, I don't think that Jesus had his, at that particular time, had his scrolls with him, or his books, or Palm Pilot, or smartphone, or anything like that with him. He committed the scriptures to memory, and we should do the same. We should study our Bibles daily. Recently, I was studying with a group of CMU students. We have a Friday night Bible study at one of our members' homes, and I made the statement that the importance of reading and studying the Bible daily, just like we eat. We eat food every day for our physical sustenance. We really need to read our Bibles on a daily basis and study God's Word. We need to make time for that. I need to make time for that. So I told them, just as we consume food every day to maintain our physical bodies, we need to consume the Word of God daily to maintain our spiritual health. Now, I know that we all have busy schedules, and it is hard to find the time to do all the things that we do each day. But let me show you a way that may work for you in order to get your Bible study. Now, all of us have a preset time that we wake up in the morning, either in order to get ready for school or for work, or whatever else may be in our day's activities, those of us who may be retired and so forth. For the most part, though, we stick to our routine because we all have to get a certain amount of sleep to function properly. Now, let's try this. Wake up half an hour earlier than you normally do and go to sleep half an hour earlier than you normally do on the previous night. Don't worry about staying up late to watch CNN news or any of that stuff, because the same news they broadcast at 9 will be the same news they broadcast at 10 will be the same news they broadcast at 11. So just watch it earlier and go to bed if you're so inclined. You will then be able to get up earlier for your personal Bible study, and I guarantee if you do this, you will gain newfound spiritual insights. You will discover God's will and purpose for your life, and in this, you will be more and more like Jesus. Remember, if we are to be like Jesus, then we must study the scriptures earnestly, then the world will see Jesus in us. Point number 3, we must pray as Jesus prayed. We need to pray like Jesus. No other life in human history was ever so crowded with labor and responsibility as was the life of Jesus. Yet how often he was found in prayer. How constant was his communion with God. In Mark 1:35 it states, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." Luke 5:15 and 16 says, "Great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." And Luke 6:12 says this, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Now, this is intriguing to me. If Jesus, who is the Son of God, if he found it necessary to devote much time to prayer, then what about you and I, who are not God? We should be just as diligent about our prayer life. Heaven's limitless resources are available to us if only we would pray for them. From the pen of inspiration comes this point about prayer. It is not always necessary to bow upon your knees in order to pray. Cultivate the habit of talking with the Savior when you are alone, when you are walking, and when you are busy with your daily labor. Let the heart be continually uplifted in silent petition for help, for light, for strength, for knowledge. Let every breath be a prayer. Now let me share with you something that will help you have a powerful and effective prayer life. Practice the art of intercessory prayer. And by that I mean pray for the wants and the needs of others. Pray more for that than for your needs or wants. Matthew 6:8 says, "For your Father knoweth the things that ye have need of before ye ask." This intercessory prayer is something that is very powerful. I don't know how many of you have heard the author Robert Murnau, that has written the books Incredible Answers to Prayers and a couple of other ones. But I had the opportunity to meet him at the Ontario Conference camp meeting several years ago, and he's deceased now. But his testimony is something that is very, very powerful. And his books are very powerful. If you have them, if you don't have one or two of them, I would get them and read them. You'll be amazed. Incredible Answers to Prayer. But his prayers, or the way he operated his life, was that he did a lot of intercessory prayer for other people in his family, for others. And he states that if you have a very strong intercessory prayer life, that God will really, really bless you in your life. Pray for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and less for material things. Pray that God's will be done in your life. If you pray like this, God will supply all your needs. Where will you find time to pray like this? No problem. Remember the half an hour to an hour block of time in the morning we carved out to devote for scripture study? Let's take one quarter of that time and devote it to prayer. Remember, if we pray like Jesus prayed, then we will be like Jesus, and the world will be able to see Jesus in us. Point number four, and my last point, we must serve as Jesus served. Jesus' whole life was a life devoted to service for the benefit of others. As a child, he lightened his mother's burden by cheerfully assisting her in her chores. As a young man, he learned the trade of carpentry under his father's tutelage and assisted his father in this work. The furniture that he made benefited others. I read in the Spirit of Prophecy, and I hate without making the specific reference to say this, but it was impressed upon my mind. She says that his heart was warmed when he went through his neighborhood as an adult, and he saw the furniture that he made for other people and how it was benefiting them in their places, in their homes. In his earthly ministry, he met people's mental, physical, and spiritual needs, and he forgave them of their sins. And as our high priest, he intercedes on our behalf before the Heavenly Father. Christ, as our example, left us a legacy of service. He left us this legacy to teach us the great principles on which the kingdom of God is based. Love for our fellow men as evidenced by our service to others. In Matthew 25, 34 through 40, and as a matter of fact, why don't you turn there and follow along with me. Matthew 25, verses 34 through 40. That will be my last text for today. Matthew 25, 34 through 40. Jesus himself says this: "Then shall the king say to the people on his right, 'Come, my Father has given you his blessing. Receive the kingdom God has prepared for you since the world was made. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was alone and away from home, and you invited me into your house. I was without clothes, and you gave me something to wear. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the good people will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and give you food, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you alone and away from home and invite you into our house? When did we see you without clothes and give you something to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and care for you? Then the king will answer, I tell you the truth. Anything you did for even the least of my people here, you also did for me. You see, we need to be like the people on the right, the sheep, and not the goats. These people did not do these things for fame or fortune or recognition. They did them out of hearts filled with genuine love for their fellow men. If we want to be like Jesus so that the world can see Jesus in us, then we will serve others as he did. In closing, Christ has called us all, young and old, small and great, to be ambassadors for him. That's what Elder Tony said earlier to the young people. Every one of us, each one of us, has a sphere of influence. And within the sphere, those whom we come in contact with are affected. Every one of us, man, woman, boy, girl, no boy or girl is an island. We all have a sphere of influence. Christ admonishes us to follow his example. And why do we need to do this? Because people in Midland, in Saginaw, in Mount Pleasant, in Carrollton, in Bridgeport, in Detroit, in Chicago, New York, London, in Paris, in Johannesburg, in Sydney, in Jerusalem, in Cairo, and Palestine, people in Africa and Asia and Europe and Arabia and all around the world, people need to come to a knowledge of the Savior and of his saving grace. The only Jesus that many men and women, boys and girls, will see is the Jesus that lives in you and me. Can the world see Jesus in you? Can the world see Jesus in me? Does your love to him ring true? And your life and service too? Can the world see Jesus in you? Let us bow our heads for prayer. Our Father God, we, your people, we long to go home with you. And we know that you have placed us here for work to do. And so, Father, we pray that we would examine ourselves, and where we have not been like you, that we would seek to become more and more like Christ each day, that we would study your words, that we would study your life, and model ourselves accordingly. Thank you for being willing to come here to die for us, and help us to spread this message that we have of your good news, of the good news of your soon return to a world that is dying. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.